Well, good morning to everyone. I'm very thankful that we're all here present today, assembled together to hear the Word of God. The local church is here, and the local church wants everybody who's here, especially our visitors, to know how important you are. You are dear to us, and we're thankful that you're here and that you've come to hear the appeal that comes from the Word of God, our Bibles. And we want to encourage every one of you to bring and open up that Bible and read along in the lessons as we study the pages from God's holy word. And I am a preacher of the gospel. I am committed to the preaching of the gospel. And that's something that every preacher needs to be doing. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and at verse 2, every preacher has a charge from God. He is to preach the word in season and out of season, exhort, convince, rebuke, and instruct with all long suffering and teaching. And that's what I pray I will be able to do today, and that's what I pray I will always do. But if you find something that I say today that is in disharmony with what you understand the Bible to be teaching, you'd be my best friend if you come and you would tell me about that thing. And if that is the case, I will repent. And I will never teach that thing again. But on the other hand, if you find something that is being said today that strikes a harmless chord with you and things that maybe you haven't done that the Bible instructs you should do, then we pray that you will also repent, do those things, and also teach those things to others. I think that kind of sums it up. In the past, messages, oftentimes I have spoken of my own journey to the Word of God as a search for the people of the book. I've used that phrase many, many times. The people of the book. And that's exactly what we all need to be today. We need to be a people of the book. And I admit that when I first began that journey, I didn't quite understand exactly where that phrase originated. I actually thought it came from me. I thought I was the one who talked about the people of the book. And as I grew in my understanding, I realized that God Himself is the one who originates this phrase. And having read the book called the Bible, I soon learned that I'm not the one that made it up. And I want to encourage everybody this day to consider that God has put His words in this precious book for each and every one upon the earth to learn and glean from the spiritual things that will help us to gain that entrance into heaven one day. He desires His people to be a people of the book. Let's turn again to that book of Deuteronomy that was read in your hearing this morning together. And that would be Deuteronomy chapter 17. And we're going to begin reading here in verse 18 again. I put it on the screen so that we can all read it. There is also a Bible, a book in front of you in the pews if you don't have a Bible. And I have Bibles that I have available to you. If you don't have a Bible, you see me today and I'll be glad to give you one or two, as many as you need. This Bible, this book is so important to God's people. So as we open this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 17, we notice in verse 14 and 15 that the people are desiring a king, that God knows they're going to desire a king, that is, and it's something that is very prophetic. And as we see it, we see that the anticipation of God is that the people indeed would demand a king. And then in our opening, as we read it, we see that God commands this king to be something. And let's read that together here as we think about this. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18. It shall also be when he, and this is that king to come, sits upon his throne, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests and the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all things, all the words of this law and these statutes. Notice in verse 20, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom and his children in the midst of Israel. And what we're looking at is God is, he sees the people are going to want a king, and he's telling them what this king needs to be. He needs to write down all the words of the law, and he needs to read it daily in that book. He needs to be a man of the book. And as we open this and we read through that, I want you to notice two important things that about God's people, the people of the book. And first, look at Deuteronomy chapter 28 with me, and that's what I'm going to have up on the screen for you. Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we're going to read verses 58 and 59. There's two conditions that we're going to address here. In verse 58, he says, if you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that you were written in this book, that you may fear the glorious and awesome name of the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring you, listen to this, and your descendants, listen, extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sickness. Wow. You see the condition there. If, he says, you do not carefully observe all the words of this book. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, that's pretty frightening. When you think about the plagues in Egypt, that's pretty frightening. He's going to bring greater plagues, sicknesses. But on the other hand, as we can think about it, there's that severe consequence, and he says, if you do not carefully obey. But on the other hand, if we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we're going to look at verses 9 through 10, this is what the Lord says. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, and the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land, land for good. For the Lord again will rejoice over you for good as he rejoices over your fathers. And now look at verse 10. Why is the Lord going to do this? What does the scripture say? What does this book tell us? In verse 10, he says, if, that's that conditional statement again. One of two conditions. If, he says, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. If. So now we see that there's two conditions here. If you do not obey all those plagues, great and awesome, and if you do obey all the goodness, you can rejoice. You see the difference? So we should be impressed now as we look at the fact that God has put his word in a book, and that those who do not obey the word of truth will come severe and harsh consequences. But for those who do obey and keep the words of this book, there will be blessings and goodness. And God expects his people to be just that, a people of the book. And now when the people, we think about the people of the book and these wonderful blessings, and we realize in verse 10 there that if we obey the Lord, we see and we should be impressed with the fact that God put his words in a book. And we need to obey those words. And now turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, we're on the scene now. Moses has died. Moses has done his job. He was chosen to do the things that God has called him to do. The people in Israel were led out, and they've come to the promised land now, and they're going to cross over that river Jordan, and they're going to take over the land that God has promised them in the time past, beginning with Abraham until this very, very day. And as we look at Joshua, we're going to look at chapter 1, and we see the record of this people, and here we see that Joshua is called, and he's called to succeed Moses, and to be a leader of God's people. And the Lord charged Joshua to be a man of the book. Let's begin reading in chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, God says, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and that you may observe to do according to what? According to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You see what he said there? There are many self-help books in the world today. There's a plethora of them. When you look up self-help books on the internet, you see all kinds of them. But he says, God says here, for then you will make your way prosperous. That is, when you keep the commandments of the law of this book, when you do everything you have to contain yourself and to observe everything that is written according to it, he'll make your way prosperous. God will do that. But you know, there's self-help books out there. Here's a self-help book. It's the ultimate book of wisdom, a guide to spiritual and physical prosperity. There's a lot of books. Here's a book here, The Eight Pillars of Prosperity. Another book is called You Can Be Prosperous. Lots of books. But you know what, my friend? There are no books today greater than the book that you hold in your hand right here and now. There are no books that have more power, no books that can guide you in the way of prosperity, not just physical, but spiritual. No other book can guide you in the way to spiritual success like the book of God. And friends, if you want to make your way spiritual and prosperous, be a people of the book. In other words, choose one of the two ifs today. Today, who you will follow, and if you obey, these are promises from God. That book that you have in your hand is the greatest book ever that came down from heaven to man, from God. What a wonderful book. And what a wonderful thing it would be to be a people of the book. So, when we think about this, when you're looking at Joshua, a man of the book, and how God had commanded him to be courageous and to observe all the things of the book. Look at Joshua chapter 23 and at verse 6. In Joshua chapter 23 and at verse 6, the Lord has commanded, and he says to Joshua, let me get back there, therefore be very courageous to keep and do all the things that are written in the book of the law of Moses, that lest you turn aside from the right hand or the left. See, a people of the book have to be a people who don't turn aside from the right hand to the left. We see in a time when the Lord has given the people a rest from their enemies here. They've conquered the land, and Joshua's gathered all the people. And Joshua, he's old and he's advanced in age. And in chapter 23 and at verse 1, then Joshua gathered all the tribes together in Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and for the officers, and they presented themselves before God. They were all gathered together, and that's when Joshua said those words, therefore be courageous and keep and do all the things that are written in the book, the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from the right hand or the left. People of the book, they were gathered together and they heard that. And you see that God, through Joshua, commanded the people to be a people of the book. Isn't that a wonderful thing? People of the book. And wouldn't it be wonderful if every soul that's here today, after hearing the words of this book, would be challenged in their souls, in their very inner being, in their hearts. They would be challenged, each one, to be a people of the book. Boy. As we move on in the next segment here, let us consider some people of the book that are recorded here in this Bible. And Lord willing, we'll talk about the characteristics of the people, and I believe that's all going to happen tonight. This lesson's not going to come about in one lesson. There's just too many things. But as we go on forward and we think about, there are people in the Bible that are people of the book. And the first place that we want to look now in this is about the people of Israel and in the book of Exodus. And those people that were God's people were taken out of bondage. You remember that. They were in bondage in Exodus. And while they were there, we read in the book of Exodus chapter 3 and at verse 7 that God hears the cries of the people. And how God, when he heard those cries of the people, he calls somebody special to be a deliverer for the people. He calls Moses up to that mountain. And he tells Moses in chapter 3 and in verse 10, he says that I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So God has made this deliverer, Moses, and he's given him a task to do. And God did this through a series of terrible plagues, 10 terrible plagues. And the last of the 10 plagues, of course, was the death of the firstborn of every family and every animal, in fact. And when the people crossed over the Red Sea after all this was done and Pharaoh sent them away and they crossed over the Red Sea on dry land, and Pharaoh, of course, he sent his armies, the armies of Egypt, to chase them. And we all know what happened, that the sea just crashed in down around them and it just killed them all. And God's people were on the other side. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 24 together. Exodus chapter 24, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 7. Exodus chapter 24, verses 3 through 7. And I want you to notice, and actually just verse 3, the scripture says, so Moses came and told the people. Moses came and he told the people. What did he tell them? He told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice. What did the people answer with one voice? What did he say? What did they say? All the Lord, the words which the Lord God, has said, we will do. People of the book. You see that? A great example, people of the book. Look at verse 7. Then he, Moses, took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, all the Lord has said, we will do. To be obedient. You see, people of the book, one of those great characteristics, whatever the Lord says, they will do and be obedient. Isn't that the greatest attitude that anybody can have? Definitely one that we would want to mimic and one that we would want to be behind. You know, we have a group of people here who have agreed together to God to be a people of the book, to do all that is written in the book of the Lord and on to obey those things. That's a wonderful attitude. That's the attitude that we should all carry home with us. Great example of the people of the book from God. And my prayer today for everyone, for all of us here today, me included, is that we have that same attitude, that wonderful attitude that whatever the Lord tells us, all that he says, we will do and we will obey. That's what we're going to do. And it's not just some. They didn't say, oh, well, we'll do some of those things there, Moses. We're not going to do just most all of those things, Moses, but all the words of the Lord. And he said, we will do. You see that? All the words of the Lord, they said it with one voice. Well, let's turn another example. I want you to turn to the book of 2 Kings with me. The book of 2 Kings. And in this book, 2 Kings, we're going to notice a very special man. And this special man is in, we'll look at 2 Kings chapter 14. And this special man is somebody that he was a king of Judah. And I want you you think of the kings of Judah, and they weren't all great kings. They weren't all good kings, but this particular king was a good king. All the kings of Israel, they were evil, they were bad kings. But there were some good kings in Judah. And this king is Amaziah. When we think of Amaziah in 2 Kings chapter 14 and verses 1 through 6, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And we want to read that. 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. In the second year of Joash, the son of Jehoiaz, king of Israel, Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Israel, he became king. You know what? He was 25 years old when he became king and reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoiadan and of Jerusalem. And he did, look at that verse 3, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like his father David. He did everything as his father Joash had done. You see that? He did everything. However, the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Now listen, verse 5, now it happened as soon as the kingdom was established in his hand that he executed his servants who had murdered his father, the king, but the children of the murderers did not execute. Now remember, we're talking about this king who is one who is a man of the book. He's part of those great people of the book. But why didn't he kill the children of the murderers? Why didn't he kill them? What does the scripture say? What does it say there in verse 6? He did not depart from... wrong verse. Verse 6, but the children of the murderers he did not execute according to what is written in the book. You see, he's a people of the book. For the law of Moses in which the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not depart be put to death for their children's, nor the children be put to death for their fathers, but a person shall be put to death for his own sin. Moses wrote that. He wrote that in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, and in verse 16. He wrote that very thing. And you know what? When Amaziah is a person of the book, he's keeping the law of the book. Many people at that time, and even today, would have killed everybody. They would have killed the men, women, and the children. They would have wiped them out and destroyed them. But you see, Amaziah was a man of the book, and he kept the law of Moses just as it is written. You see that? It was not Amaziah. But what does this tell us about Amaziah? He respected the book. He respected the book. He was a man of the book. He did what's right in the sight of the Lord. Too many today, especially in Israel in that day, they're doing what is right in their own eyes or in the eyes of somebody else. You see that? He had respect for the book. It's a good thing that we should all pay. What about Joash, 2 Kings chapter 22? Joash is another king. One interesting thing about Joash here, as you're turning over there, 2 Kings chapter 22, is that Joash was only 8 years old. Can you imagine that? Being under the rule of an 8-year old? I'll tell you what. I've always despised when people say God has a sense of humor, because I don't believe that for a second. But it's hard not to laugh having an 8-year old as king, reign. But one of the great things as we look at this chapter 22 is the great things that he did during his reign. You know, at that time he ordered the temple to be repaired, and as they're making repairs on the temple, they find something. What do you suppose they found? What is it that they found? They found the book of the law. Isn't that what they found? Listen, as we're looking at chapter 22, we read in verse 2 that Josiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And you go over to verse 8, and then Hilkiah the high priest said to Zaphan, and this is after they're in there, they're fixing up the temple, and he said to Zaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. That's what they found. Can you imagine that? Now you think about necessary inference, what this means. It means that the people of God lost the book. The people of God lost the book. You know, it'd be like coming in here today, week after week after week, and we sit in our pews, and one day we're out here doing the work in the building, and we're cleaning up a room, and back in the corner of some room we find this book, and somebody finds the book. What is that? Wow. Hey, you guys, it's the Bible. Look what I found. And we're all kind of amazed. Wow, what? What? The Bible. But they found it. They found the book of the law right then and there. In verse 10, Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. That's what he did. You see that? He read it before the king. And as we continue on going down through this, what did they do? What did they do when they heard what was read? You know, the king, he could have said, well, that's nice. That's nice. Put it back. Isn't that something that a lot of people do today? When you talk to them about the wonderful words in the book of the law, they're not people of the book when you hear them say, that's nice. Let's move on to something else. Move on. When I was young in the faith, just learning what it meant to be a Christian, I had written some songs. And one of the songs that I wrote is, some people seem to say, God's the only way. And then they turn and live in sin that he died to wash away. When you speak about this word or this world and the games that men do play, they turn to you and they want to hear what you have to say. But when you talk about the word, they turn their face away and they put up their hands and say, let's talk some other day. They're not people of the book. You see, we don't want to be a people who loathes the book. We certainly don't want to be a people who can claim we just found the book. But it's amazing. And as we think about Josiah, let's look at verse 8 we read. Now chapter 23, I want you to see that Josiah, he makes an agreement with the Lord to be the people of the book. 23 and at verse 1. It says, now the king sent to them and gathered all the elders of Judea and Jerusalem. The king went to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judea and with him the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which he found in the house of the Lord. Do you see what he said? Both small and great. That means everybody. If you're thinking in terms, what does that? That means everybody. It doesn't matter who they are. Both small and great. And he read the words of the book in their hearing. And the king stood by in verse 3. By a pillar he made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and statutes with all his heart and with all his soul. Perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. They were the people of the book. You see how wonderful that is? That's how we need to be today. We need to be a people of the book. When we worship God together as the book prescribes. When we worship as it is in the book, we don't just say any old way we'll worship. And that's what's caused so much division in the world. Well, we can do anything we want. We can worship any old way we want. My brother, his congregation chose not to do the Lord's Supper but once every 6 months. Joe, why would you guys choose to do that? They voted to do that. Why? Well, we decided that it was just, it became so commonplace. They decided. They're not the people of the book. In verse 25, look at verse 25 there. In verse 21, the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover of the Lord your God as it is written in this book of the covenant. You know what the Passover was? The Feast of Tabernacles. That commemorated the time when the people had come out of bondage in Egypt and they stayed in those tents, those shacks that they built. What a wonderful thing it is. The people kept that. We see in verse 25, now before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Not after him did, nor after him did any arise like him. What a wonderful thing. He was a person of the book and he turned the people to the book. He was such a great man, who was a good king. And he committed himself to keeping all the words of the book. All. With all that he had. With all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind. Well, one more example of the people of the book as we look through this and we want to see that get past here, the people of the book at the Watergate. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. Wonderful chapter. There's so many messages that can be preached out of this chapter. We can preach messages about the people. We can preach wonderful things about Ezra. And there's so much. Nehemiah and their faith. The people before the Watergate is what we're looking at. And setting as the children of Israel, they're coming out of captivity. They've redirected themselves, rededicated themselves, rather, to the Word of God. They rebuilt the wall in Jerusalem. And now the people have come together to hear in public the reading of the law of the book. And I want you to notice there in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1, all the people gathered together as one man in one open square that was in front of the Watergate, and they told Ezra, the scribe of the to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The people, they told Ezra. What did they tell Ezra? They told Ezra to bring the book. Bring the book of the law of Moses. Come, entertain us. Is that what they said? Come and tell us some really great jokes that cause us to fall over laughing in the aisle. Tell us some funny stories. Tell us some really sad stories that make us cry and feel spiritual. What did they say? They said, bring the book of the law. You see, here, we need to be a people of the book. We need to be people sitting in the pews who are constantly saying, bring the book. Bring the book, preacher. Bring the book, teacher. Bring the book, mom. Bring the book, dad. Bring the book, children. Bring the book. We need to be people of the book. And that's a wonderful thing as we go through that. Bring the book. And that's the way it should be. You know, there was a father at one point in time, he wanted to impress his preacher. The preacher's visiting the house. And the father, he's sitting with the preacher and he gets kind of motivated and he turns to his son and he says, son, go get that book that we like to read together all the time. You know, his father, that boy's going to bring in the Bible and press that preacher. But you know what he brought? Sports Illustrated. Yeah. You know, if that question was asked in your home, what book would your child bring? If that question was asked as you're getting in the car and you said, bring the book, would they bring a coloring book? Would they bring some other book? Would they grab that book of the law? Would they grab that book? That's the way it should be. And notice in verse 3, Nehemiah chapter 8, then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were what? What were the ears of all the people? The ears of all the people. What were they? The ears of all the people were attentive. You see it? They were attentive to the book of the law. Isn't that a great thing? You know, they opened the book. They read the book and all the people were there. They were attentive. They were there. They wanted to hear what the book had to say. And as we look back at verse 3 again, we notice something else. They read in the open square that was in front of the Watergate when? How long did they read? Did they read for 10 minutes? Did they read for 15 minutes? Maybe a half an hour? No, they read from morning till midday. You know, most scholars agree that's about 6 hours. They read 6 hours. You know, that's amazing that the people stood there and they listened to this book. They read it and they heard it. You think of people today, oftentimes, I remember preaching a gospel meeting one time where the preacher and an elder came up to me and said, listen, Dave, 30 minutes, that's all you get. People don't want to hear it after 30 minutes. They don't want to hear it. You know, that made me sweat. It made me nervous because I don't think I've ever done a 30-minute sermon. How can you imagine? You know, and I want you to think really hard and serious about this. 30 minutes, that's enough. Maybe 40, 50, but listen, after that people start to complain. But here we see people are standing and they're listening morning to midday. Morning to midday. Now, I want to put this in perspective. Every one of us knows what football is, right? And you know, you think about a football game, and sometimes those games 2-3 hours long. And here's an image of people watching a football game. They have no problem sitting there. Freezing cold, maybe sometimes horned down rain, and people sitting. Boy, they're the people of the game. They don't have a problem being there on time, man. They get there early so they can get the good seat. Beat the crowd. They don't come in late. And then they stay as long as it takes. If the game goes into overtime, as long as it takes, it doesn't matter. You know, some of those same people complain about a sermon that goes more than 30 minutes. I bet. I'm not a betting man. But I'm sure that's true. What about basketball? You know, they go into overtime all the time. You see people getting up and go, overtime? No, that game's supposed to be over in an hour and a half. I'm out of here. No. But you know, it's a really sad thing that that's what some of the Lord's people do. What does it mean? It means whatever you love, you do without complaint. Whatever you desire, you do without complaint. If it's something you like, you're going to listen to it. If it's a TV show, you're going to sit and listen to it. If it's a game on the, you're going to go and watch it. If it's something you love, you're going to do it. If you're a people of the book, what do you love? If you're a people of the book, what are you going to do? You're going to stand there from morning until midday. That's what you're going to do. Whatever you love. We want to be a people of the book. We want to listen to the book, don't we? We want to be a people of the book. Something else that they did there. They made a platform. They made a platform of wood, kind of like this one. They raised it up and they made a platform for the reading of the book, verse 4. You see it? Notice all the people in verse 5, what did they do? What did the people do? It tells us they stood. Right? They stood in their place. We all need to have a place. We all need to stand in our place. We all need to be here when the door is open. We all need to be sitting in our place when the book is open. We all need to be here. We need to be in our place. We need to know what our job is, what our purpose is. And we need to be in our place. And they built that so that they could hear it. And then they all stood in their place. How long did they stand? Morning to midday. You see it? They were people of the book. What do most people do when they hear the national anthem? And I'm not being controversial. What do most people do? Even me, myself. We stand up. People put their hand over their heart. Why do they do that? They do that out of respect for the flag, out of respect for everybody that lived and worked and died to protect our rights in this country. They stand up for that. Because of what it represents. Shouldn't we have more respect for the book of the law? Shouldn't we stand up spiritually for the book of the law? Think about it. We need to be a people with our feet on the ground. Ephesians chapter 6. We need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to stand up for it, spiritually speaking. We need to fight the good fight, as Paul said. That devil's out there. He's roaming around like a lion. He wants to devour us, 1 Peter 5 and 8. And he never takes a break. He doesn't sleep and he doesn't rest. He doesn't say, I've heard enough. We need to be a people with our feet on the ground. Paul says, fight the good fight, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. God's people need to contend earnestly for the faith, Jude chapter 3, or verse 3. And there's no other point from this. And that is why we need to be a people who open the book, stand up for the book, and we need to be a people who love the book and know our place. We're going to continue this lesson tonight. And I, Lord willing, you'll be here. I think there's some great things to glean from God's good book. And I hope you'll be here to hear the rest of the lesson. And Lord willing, we'll be able to grow in our faith and be more and more a people of the book. You know, the song of invitation that's before us today, book 5, number 585, the words, "Is thine heart right with God?" Do you think Amaziah's heart was right with God? Do you think Josiah's heart was right with God? When the first people came out of Israel and they crossed over that water on the Jordan on dry land and they found themselves on the other side, do you think their heart was right with God until they got thirsty anyway? Is your heart right with God today? Can you truly say you're a people of the book? Remember what I said in the beginning, that if I preach something that's not right, you tell me. You show me. And if I'm wrong, I'll not preach that again. I'll repent. But if you hear something that strikes a chord in your heart today, and you know you know you can say you're a surgeon, but when it comes to do brain surgery, are you really? You know, are you really a people of the book? Examine yourselves this day. And if you're not, make your heart right with God. That's what we want to do. And if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can be a person of the book. You just hear the gospel, Jesus Christ, who came down from the glories of heaven, walked upon the earth, brought the great good news, the gospel of Christ came into all the world, that he would suffer and die on a cross, his blood being shed, so that you could have remission of your sins. And all he asks is, did you hear that message? Did you believe that message, John chapter 8, verse 24? That you repent of your sins, Mark chapter 13, verse 3? That you confess him before men, Matthew chapter 23, or Matthew chapter 10, verse 22 and 3, and that you're baptized into Christ this very day. That's what makes you a person of the book, and from that day forward, you live your life for Christ. Can you do that today? If you have a need today, I invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.